Thank you for everybody who made it to my talk. I hope you will have a nice 45 minutes with me. First, something about me. I'm from Switzerland, 33 years old, and until now, all I did in my work life was working at some ISPs, internet service providers. And I'm gonna change that now. And hopefully it will be a succeeding experience. No, too expensive. Alex, I will explain later what I will doing. Okay, my talk is about how to protect an SMTP server against DDoS attacks. Because 10 years ago, we had this nice situation. The world was still good, there was almost no spam. And now, 10 years later, it's something different. There is that much junk in the mail that you have to see which mail is a good one and throw away all the rest. And that's also some kind of DDoS attack, because if there are 100,000 mail servers or botnet clients which just send you mail, and in the opposite you have 5 good mail servers here, you have a DDoS attack. From different spammers, of course. So first we have to look at direct and indirect attacks. Yeah. There are two kinds of attacks. Indirect attacks is when the mail infrastructure from an ISP is attacked. The solution is easy, you just block the originating IP from this mail server. And there is also another attack, that's backscatter. That means spammers are abusing your email address and you get all the mail server notifications back, the NDRs back to your email account, even if you didn't send those mails. So that's very bad. There is a solution like bounce address tag validation, which works rather well. But also, if you get really a lot of those mails, your mail server will be down, probably. But today, I will speak about direct attacks. There are also some kind of different attacks here. We have bandwidth attacks. We have DOS attacks relating from a single IP. The solution there is also easy, just block it. There are synflood attacks, we have syn cookies these days, and we have DDoS attacks from far too many IPs. That's what I said. 1,000 spammers over the world are sending you spam, and the normal mails, you did get with the spam alone. And there is no solution. There are 2-3 solutions available on the market, but they have other problems. So that's what happens, basically. Each mail server is able to work with about 100 or 500 connections at the same time. So if there are more than those limits, all other connections will be stopped. And the server tells us, I'm busy, please try again later, or whatever. And if you get very important emails, they will have a delay. And sometimes the delay will be one day or more. And that's a pity. I had a customer which sent out stock reports. So that's no problem, normally. but the stock reports arrive to customers one day later. And there is no interest for stocks from Monday when the customer gets them Tuesday. So the customer wasn't happy at all. It was a Swiss bank, by the way.
Is there anything else?
What? I will not talk about Swiss number accounts or something like that. So I tried to solve that problem within the kernel. That has a few advantages. First, it's very fast. It has a very low memory footprint. There are no context switches at all. There is no forking, no thread handling needed. So you don't have to deal with thousands of connections in userland. And overflow mechanisms are rather easy to implement. So how does that work at all? It has kind of similarity to TARPITs. In TARPITs, you just delay the SMTP connects, and I do the same in the kernel. And I also do that with grid pause functionality in the kernel. If you don't know what grid pause is, I will explain it later. Basically, it defers the accept, because it's an accept filter. Maybe you have already used the accept filter for HTTP, which is also a good thing to have, until the first SMTP command is complete. And it's important, it's only the first command. So it's kind of transparent proxy just for the first SMTP command. Okay, I thought, okay, if I'm doing that, I can also validate some things like the length of the hello command. That's the first command a client sends normally. And also check if there is a from, that's wrong, checks from for hello before from. Yeah, it's the opposite around. And also limit the command set, so the client just cannot send random chunk or whatever. Here we see a picture how it works. So basically, it's almost the same like the HTTP accept filter, almost, but there is a main difference. Some connections, if the data isn't valid or the grid pause has been waited for, will be terminated. Any questions here for this picture? No. I will answer your question later. The maximum is 5 minutes, I guess. You shouldn't delay the connection more because it will be closed by the client.
I mean, after you get the hello or echo message on the incoming line?
Then it's handled over to the SMTP daemon and the kernel is out of the game. It does just the regular thing then. Okay, that's how the grid pause works. So it's basically... Okay. It's basically just waiting for some seconds after the connection has been made. And after those seconds, we send the greeting message in the server. So SMTP works like that. The connection is initiated here. Then the server sends back the greeting message. Hello, I'm the server. Blah, blah, blah. Please send me mail. Then the client sends the greeting message. And the server responds with the capability string. And then you will see the mail from recipient to data part later on. That's the traditional way an SMTP server works. So it accepts sockets happily until everything is full. I mean, it can accept 512 connections or 1024 if you just use select without modifications, or maybe it has KQ support, then it's able to do something more, but you will run out of memory or whatever, because each daemon uses some memory. And even if the model is forked, is threaded, you will have some problems. And all new arriving mails in such a situations are denied. So the server tells the client, I'm busy, please try again later, and you're out of the game. I changed that. The new way with the accept filter in place is like that. So if you have a listen queue, which is, let's say, 4,000, which has 4,000 entries, the kernel fills up this listen queue until it is full. But the oldest connection, you see here, first in, last out, that's what philo is standing for, is dropped out. So if you have a DDoS attack with empty connections, empty means you just have connections and nothing else afterwards. If you have such an attack, those connections will be thrown away. And your normal traffic is just going through as there would be no attack at all. The configuration is rather easy, but you have to recompile the SMTP server. So you need some source changes. Basically, it's just a set sock opt where you set the accept filter. So it can be used by the client, by the server, I mean, later. But don't worry, I will provide patches for that. I have already patches for sendmail. Thanks, Eric, by the way. But of course, there are some side effects. I do delay the connections in the kernel. And like that, there is no rate limiting at all, and there is no connection limiting at all. That means one client can open hundreds of connections, and you need to deal with that. But fortunately, we have PF, and it's rather easy to solve this problem. And it's even a good thing, because we have the command flush global, which means if you are over this rate, if a client has opened more than 100 or whatever, here I guess it's 50 in 10 seconds, yes, then all the existing connections will be closed too. If you do that in user land, you don't have that advantage. Okay. That's what I said before. The RFC allows the client to have to wait 300 seconds for the initial connect. So a normal SMTP server has to wait for each arriving connection before he doesn't get any data. 300 seconds. And that's a lot of time. And spammers, they don't have 300 seconds, because if they wait 300 seconds, they will run into a problem. Blacklists already have catched up, and even if they wait that long to send you the spam, they will be catched by the blacklists later. So that's a very good thing. And most of them, in my tries, will give up after 10 to 20 seconds. I even try to use higher timeouts, like 1 minute and 2 minutes, And the funny thing was, after 120 seconds, the spam has been gone. So it's a very, very cheap spam filter, which doesn't need any other tweaks afterwards. There may be problems because not all system administrators are tuning their systems correctly. So I had a Windows system administrator which used 30 seconds as timeout. So, but you will notice that if some customer does is not happy at all or whatever. And I already mentioned that empty connections, the problem with empty connections is gone with the accept filter. To make it a bit more clear, I have prepared a slide here. That's an example work how it could be when you implement it. You see here at the beginning, that's the PF part, where you say, okay, important customer, this one is whitelisted, I just forward it to my SMTP daemon, which doesn't have an accept filter in place. And all the other stuff does sleep in the kernel. And there, after the sleep greeting pause has been waited for, we say, okay, we hand it over to another SMTP daemon, which maybe can handle those mails a bit stronger than normally. And the bad behavior stuff, which doesn't wait for the greet pause, which has very long strings in it, or does just send junk, we terminate it immediately. The blue color stands for the kernel here, and the red color is the userland part. That's like a successful connection works. So, here again, the kernel part, that's what the client is sending us, if we have an SMTP server with the accept filter. And after the server has waited some time, he responds with the capability message. Now we have three examples. That's the first one, where the connection has failed. That's the first one. We have no hello command. The client just sent us mail from. And all you see here is relating from the kernel. So this connection hasn't been seen user land at all. And it's the same here. We just got junk mails. I mean, no junk mails. We just got junk. No SMTP comments at all. And here we have a greet pause example. There was a hello sent, but the client didn't wait for the greeting message from the server. So the connection has been terminated at the same time where data have been received. Here again the picture, that's exactly here. We got data before the server has sent us the message. Of course, the industry has produced other solutions for this. For example, the solution Cisco provides, it's a bit a strange solution in my opinion, because they do syn packet blocking. So they have also a list of good mail servers, they let them through, but all the other servers, they have to wait. So it's just like you have several MX servers and the first one isn't reachable. That's from the client view, it's like that. You send mail to the MX with prior 10, and you can't make any connection. The client needs to look, oh, is there another MX around? yes, there is an MX with priority 20, and sends the mail to this server. So you have to have more hardware, of course, and here you still get delays. If you have customers which are not in this whitelist, you have a problem. It's not really a whitelist, it's some kind of, how can I say that? They look at the duration of the mail server. So very often used mail servers have a good ratio, and others which are not used that much, they have a bad ratio. And there is one major problem. If you have a company and switch the ISP, you will get new IP addresses. And Cisco told me, oh, that's no problem. You just have to wait 1 or 2 days and then they will catch up. Do you really have 1 or 2 days time if you miss some emails? I guess no. So their solution is rather bad. There is a userland solution which does also very crazy things. It does file descriptor passing. That's rather nice. But first, it does cost money, and we want to save that. And second, it's a threaded userland proxy, which does many, many things which may you have implemented already. So it does kind of gray listing, it does spam filtering for you, and I guess all of you already have spam filters in place. So you won't have to remove them to add another external dependency where you need to buy licenses and everything else. But beside that, it works rather well. You can choose either do it in the kernel or do it in userland. So what's the future for this project? First, I need to commit it. It's uncommitted stuff. I just have it here on my laptop, and after the conference I will upload it to my website. And there are some problems which have to be fixed. Because I do a callout in the kernel for the grid pause to wait, there are some races around. For example, if PF decides to close some connections, they are closed forcibly. So you will run out into a problem, you're still in the callout, the connection and the socket has already been freed, and boom, there you go. So I had to catch all those cases. And also, socket abort, if the listen queue is full, is another case. I had all to fix those problems. In the patch, in the port I will provide, there is a system patch which you have to apply. So, danger, Will Robinson, don't use the port without to recompile the kernel. It will work fine if you are doing telnet tests. Soon, after you have real traffic, you will crash your system. Don't do that. And my plan is to implement it in a commercial appliance. I have done that as a proof of concept. I will show you later some slides about it. The main feature of this appliance are, of course, DDoS protection here. That's the accept filter. I have made it multi-client capable, so you can have for each client, you can have outgoing and ingoing, different IP addresses. It is ready for clustering, so it shares some data sets. You can have lock separation, and also the databases for the data are separated in per customer basis. It does have a very handy feature called audit log, so your boss can look which employee has changed what configuration. For you it may be not that good idea, but for the boss it is. There is a transaction log where you can see how many mails you got, from whom, and which cluster nodes worked on it. There is also policy-driven stuff, policy routing, policy groups with a scheduler. So you can almost do anything with email what you want. You can make your own filtering, and you can also use your own spam filters, your own virus filtering. But most important, it's an open system, which means it has open source components. So you can just add what you want. I have some pictures here. That's the policy engine with policy groups. And that's how the transaction log looks like. Before you can answer, before I will answer some question, I will handle the most asked questions before. So, why I choose BSD? The answer is simple. Linux doesn't have the API, and don't like Linux. Okay, I said just before it's not yet available. It will be soon. I will upload it here. I will make a link on my page. I guess on the short paper you got already, there is my page listed. It is empty currently, and I will make a link there so you can download it. Yeah. Not exactly on this part. I have another module which I use in my appliance, which has more features. And I have made a patent on this, yes. But the goal is not to sue anyone, it's just a protection for me. You have to know the user land stuff. I mentioned before the mail channels stuff. They have made a patent on the userland stuff, so you can't do that again. And I guess if you will sell some products in the US, MailChannels is going to sue you. And the kernel is a different game, so it was a protection for me. Okay, if you need to know more something about this stuff, I propose you will read the source. You can download it here, read it, and it's an easy thing to adopt it to NetBSD and to OpenBSD if someone wants. Maybe there is no need for it, don't know. No interest. I already mentioned this. Yeah, we need some modifications. Besides the main configuration, where you use the setSocket option, you need also to hide the greeting message in the accept filter case. So the MTA needs a small modification so it doesn't send any greeting messages out, that it just responds with the capability string. But if you are loading the kernel module only, there is no effect at all. So you don't see anything. You really have to set the setSocket option. Okay, that's it. Are there any questions?
I have interest in how much work when you go around creating an application.
You mean the mail channels? No, graylisting does something else. It terminates the connection and doesn't hold them anymore. How do you mean how much force? The advantage? Graylisting is something really, really different. You terminate the connections there, and if the client does wait I mean, if it's requeuing the mails, there are many, many spammers which now are requeuing the mails and just send them twice or a third time after they have waited 15 or 20 minutes. And there you go. As longer we wait, graylisting gets more and more ineffective because the spammers catch up with the technology. They have modified their botnets to have a queuing mechanism or to just sending the mails twice or a third time after they have waited 20 or 30 minutes. That's the problem. And the accept filter doesn't have this problem. You can do grid pause in user land, but I haven't measured it. Maybe I should do that. But if you do that in send mail, for example, you will get a lot of waiting send mail clients, send mail servers, because they are forked. And
so
if
don't use it.
Grid pause. That's your opinion.
Yep.
I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy with Sendmail. It's still a very, very great product.
It's slow like hell. Should I just go after and like it? Like, no, but there's a main level. Well, his point is that you cannot handle many connections because Sendmail forks. Yes, he's right. Because it takes a lot of memory. If you use a daemon that's written in a way that doesn't suck, and I know they are hard to find, but there's one upcoming, it will not fork and it will not use threads.
Look, all the existing SMTP daemons have other problems. Sendmail is the most flexible framework we have. Postfix isn't that flexible at all. It has a limited configuration.
Let's not get into the MDA board. The model of forking is stupid. Postfix is stupid too.
Just something about the string handling in the kernel. All I do is looking at the strings,
exactly.
Terminate the connections,
exactly.
And send something back. That's all.
All the time we did that, all this wonderful data work those 10 years ago was looking at strings.
There are no buffer overflows in my code. I will invite you if you will find one.
Bill, you mentioned the race, the various race conditions.
Yeah.
You have to win. Other parts of the kernel also deal with that same connection, and that is a real hard problem to solve, I guess. Really solve. To be sure you have got all the cases where the connections are handled by a third part of the kernel and you are still looking at a stale connection or whatever.
Yeah. That's the case here. I have four or five patches. Which
but
you need.
What you're really saying is close to impossible to get this correct. Really correct, not usually
working,
but really correct.
We will see.
We will see.
Other questions? Yes? Yes, you can. And I'm also working on virtualizing the whole stuff. And if I go back to show you something, there are syscontrols. You see, there are many syscontrols which you can set. You can customize all the strings the server sends back, the kernel proxy sends back, and there is a possibility to set the grid pulse timeout. And if you have virtualized the things, you can have one SMTP daemon with 500 milliseconds and other with 10 milliseconds. Of course you could do this. Yes. I have not yet done it. Yeah, it's possible, yes. It would be possible. There is currently a limitation in the accept filter API which doesn't allow to configure via set socket option. It doesn't allow a lot of data behind, so it's kind of limited. I don't know, I guess 128 bit or something like that. Yeah. Should change that, maybe. Yeah. Other questions?
From my experience, did you see any problem in XMPP client which did not work with the filter?
In fact, those are not SMTP clients, those are the SMTP client parts of other SMTP servers that connect to you. I haven't seen any broken servers at all, I have just seen misconfigured clients. You shouldn't use any accept filter with user clients at all. That's a whole different game. So an ISP shouldn't use an accept filter, an SMTP accept filter for his customers because it's useless there. You just make your customers crazy. You can solve that differently because either you have authentication there or you don't get botnet attacks from your own customers, do you? Maybe once, but not at this time. Other questions? Okay, so thank you for your attention.